is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pull List. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon. Simon, what's up?
Just clicking. What's that? Been cool.
I don't know what that means. What's been going on with you, man?
A whole lot. Been working my new job and putting together video highlight videos. I'm in a ska band now.
Is that real? Are you really in a ska band?
No. I'm just cool with these glasses on. For all of you that can't see, we found filters in Zoom, and I've got those, like, deal with it on digital glasses.
Yeah. They're like meme glasses.
I feel real cool right now.
It's so that when Simon falls asleep halfway through the episode, I won't be able to tell.
Yeah. He'll be like, hey.
Usually he catches himself, but his eyes are the giveaway, so... Now I won't be able to tell at all. If you stumbled onto this podcast randomly, we talk about trending nerd topics, and we also review a trade. This week, we were reviewing a book by the title of Twig. It was wildly praised, and it was one of those ones that I read the first issue, like usual, and I was like, we'll read it later. And so the trade comes out today, if you're listening to this on Wednesday. So... you get to listen to our thoughts. But before then, like I mentioned, we're going to talk about some trending topics. Not a lot. We're going to roll through them. There's not a lot going on, but I do want to hear Simon's input on some of this stuff. I know Simon doesn't really keep his ear to the ground when it comes to nerd topics, so this is a kind of a catch-up for him, really.
And, yeah, I like catch-up.
And then I get his first response, which is usually pretty funny. So I'm sure you're disappointed by this beginning news. The CW canceled Stargirl after 3 seasons. How do you feel about that, man?
How could they? You know? What the hell is Luke Wilson going to do now?
You know, I know you don't like the CW shows for valid reasons. It's not like I'm like, how dare you? How dare you not watch them? For valid reasons. But I will say that Stargirl was entertaining. Mainly because they... dove deep into the corny side of like the CW and Justice Society characters.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. I never watched the second season, so I should take my first season review with a grain of salt.
Well, I will say I saw a couple of episodes because you had mentioned it when it came out that it was pretty good. So, and I did like it, and I like Luke Wilson and the Stargirl, whoever that was good. So, from the first two episodes that I watched, because I just can't keep track of it. I enjoyed it. So
Joe McHale shows up at the end, and I was like, I don't have to watch any more of this.
Oh, he's like her dad, right?
He's Starman. Yeah.
Oh, so he just shows his butthole all the time.
it's just the Mario's that going on the whole episode. That'd actually be kind of cool. This news, we started with DC because DC tends to have less news than Marvel pumps out news every 6 hours just to keep their news cycle going. DC, they're more reserved. They're playing their cards a little closer to their chest.
It's because they're detectives.
Exactly. Detective Comics. I like it. Sidebar, I think it's really annoying that you have a Detective's Comics book and it's like Detective's Comics, Detective's Comics.
Yes, it doesn't make sense. I used to work for a company that was called TRC Recreation, but the company's name, TRC, stood for The Recreation Company. So it was The Recreation Company Recreation.
It's like saying ATM machine.
Yeah, can't be one of those people.
Let me tell you, back in my day, we didn't even have ATM. But this is news that I actually care about. DC announced that Netflix's The Sandman has been renewed for season 2. Now, I like when troll accounts put out news and then everybody falls for it. I think it's hilarious. I know some people get really offended and upset about it. I think it's hilarious. Like, they'll change one letter in their Twitter handle or something, but it looks exactly like the original site. Mm-hmm. And it was like a disgusting film fake account and they put that Netflix canceled Sandman and everybody was just up in arms about it. And then DC sent out a tweet that, oh, we have more seasons coming. And then they deleted it. So everyone was like, what the fuck is going on? And then finally, Neil Gaiman was like, hey, yeah, there's more seasons coming back. I wouldn't have agreed to do the first season if they were going to cancel it. They're not allowed to cancel it. I'm Neil Gaiman. So did you ever get around to watching it?
I watched two episodes. I'm a two episode. I'm a two hitter.
Yeah, quiz. I like that. Simon doesn't need to consume the entire material to know if he likes it or not.
I said, this is interesting. And then never watched it again.
Yeah, I like this. It was a good show. I do that. I did that with Succession. We started watching it because people were talking about how good it was. And after two episodes, I was like, there's no good guys in the show. I don't want to watch this anymore.
So you didn't succeed at Succession.
No. That's why I'm not a millionaire. That's it. That's the real game. If you make it to the end of the show, they give you $1 million. My wife loves it, so she's probably going to leave me soon. That's all I got for DC news. Did you see anything out in the DC sphere? I know they had some... McFarlane's putting out another Batman figure. Surprise. We could probably say that every week forever, and it would probably be true.
It's kind of weird because they've already put out that figure, kind of. Because they did a two-pack with Hush and Batman, and now it's just... they've released a single Hush and now a single Batman. So
Marvel and EA are developing multiple action adventure games for consoles and PC. EA and Marvel, they said they're going to develop at least three new games together, and the first one will be Iron Man. Now, if you listen to the show before, you know Simon and I aren't too keen when there's an EA announcement, just because their track record is, it's not completely terrible, but it's more times than not.
It's more like eek.
Unless they get the guy to do EA Sport, whatever. EA Marvel.
EA Marvel. Yeah, he got in trouble for something.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. That's all that money he was making.
Yeah, doing that one line. I'm not excited about it. They have terrible track records.
What's your favorite EA game?
My favorite EA game is like... so Battlefront 2, once a year later, was pretty good.
Yeah. After it was free to play, they were like, we might fix this.
Yeah, but also, I really like Fallen Order.
But that's the Star Wars one?
Yeah, I just don't like that actor. If they didn't have him, I'd love that game. But
the dude from Shameless.
Yeah, the dude from Gotham. I like that one a lot. And you could tell, the problem with the EA is they siphon money away from things that are going to be better for moneymakers like Battlefront 2. So that game, you know, Respawn Entertainment, the ones that did Titanfall, they're the ones that made that one. And you can just tell when you play it, like, they took some budget out here. They put it to something else.
My favorite EA game is The Simpsons game, probably.
Oh, that one's good, yeah. Well, they had some classics.
That was like a long time ago, 2000. Yeah. Something. Aquaman actor Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, say that three times fast, is reportedly set to play the MCU's Wonder Man in the upcoming Disney Plus series of the same name. At any time you get this sort of altering the character, let's just call it that, you get a crowd that has an uproar about, you know, I've been a Wonder Man fan my whole life. I only know one Wonder Man fan. It's our friend Dustin. And my long history of reading comic books. And I don't know. I don't think anybody gives a shit about Wonder Man.
No. Well, I mean, and it's funny because they're going to have, like you said, you're going to have people, but you're also going to have people that are going to claim they've been Wonder Man fans.
Yeah. I like Wonder Man, but I don't care. We've said it before. I don't really care that much about any of this stuff.
People are just going to claim it just to be contrarian and be pissed off.
Yeah. I'm interested. We got the Vision Quest show. We got the Wonder Man announcement. I wonder if they're going to, you know, part of Vision's whole thing is they used the scans from Wonder Man's brain to make him more human-like.
Mm.
And Scarlet Witch was in a relationship with Wonder Man before Vision. And that's part of like her relationship with Vision is because of that. So I wonder if it seems like all this news coming out at the same time that they're going to integrate that story somehow.
What do you mean Scarlet, integrate?
Even though Scarlet Witch is dead. She died at the end. Spoiler alert. She died at the end of Multiverse of Madness.
Definitely. There wasn't like anything to indicate.
No. She was kaput. You saw it. Giant rocks.
Yeah. She turned into
a sorceress's Scarlet weakness. Sorceress's weakness. Just smash it with a giant rock.
Apparently two weaknesses of very powerful characters in that movie is to smash them with rock.
Just smash it with a giant rock, kaput. And I'm excited about it because it's one of those obscure characters, you know? Wonder Man. Uh-huh. No one knows about Wonder Man. You can say that you do, but no one does.
Right. He was in Westeros Adventures TV show, right?
Avengers United They Stand. Yeah. The weird one where Ant-Man was the leader of the Avengers.
Yeah. And they had the, they made fun of it in that
Chip and Dale movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Rescue Rangers, not the strippers.
Right.
Yeah. It was a weird Avengers lineup where they didn't have Cap, Iron Man, or Thor, the Avengers you care about. Right. It's like, how can we sell toys of the Avengers no one cares about?
Mm-hmm. The cartoon Fox, like, who do we have the rights to?
Right, Ant-Man. He's cool, right? No, he's not. He's not cool.
He is cool.
Another character, which I'm really excited, not character, but another person that's reportedly cast. Yeah,
she's a character.
Aubrey Plaza. I'm a huge Aubrey Plaza fan. And she's gonna be in the show. I'm excited. I have no idea who she's going to play. When we talk about, like, we're going too many layers into the character Scarlet Witch. So, like, there are a lot of characters that I know everything about. You know, Spider-Man, the main ones. But when you get into, like, Scarlet Witch and then you start going into her lore, after about one or two layers, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Agatha, I just thought she was an old-ass lady that was sort of like the kid's nanny. But now, apparently, she's Catherine Hahn, which I like her, so whatever.
Yeah. Aubrey Plaza, I don't see how she could ever be in anything witch-related or not be in anything witch-related. I'm surprised she wasn't in Hocus Pocus because I'm pretty sure she is a witch.
Yeah, she's typecast, but it makes sense.
She was in some, like, instead of, was it a Shakespeare? She was in some movie with the girl from Community. What's her name? She was also in Mad Men.
Yeah. Gosh. Drawing a blank on the name. We suck.
I feel like it's similar name. It's a similar name for some reason.
Brie. Allison Brie? Brie,
Brie Larson.
That's Captain Marvel. Aubrey Brie.
Aubrey. No. It's close, though. We're close.
We're close.
And anyway.
Luckily, I have the editing skills of a wizard.
No, leave it up. We need to. We can't be infallible to our listeners. Anyway, she was in some movie with her and Kate Micucci.
Allison Brie.
That's it. And it was funny. But anyway, they were witches in that. And end of story. Sorry, long. That was drawn out for no reason.
They'll never hear it.
That wasn't just for you. It was for the people.
Speaking of characters that we are interested to see in Agatha, Covenant of Chaos, Better Call Saul star Bob Odenkirk is reportedly eyed for a special role in the Wonder Man series, not tied to Agatha, Covenant of Chaos. That wasn't a mistake. I was just trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. But then I realized that it wasn't funny. What do you think? Bob Odenkirk, they said that I like that guy. I think he's funny. I never saw Better Call Saul. I never saw the other show that was spun off of.
You've never seen those?
I've never seen Breaking Bad, never saw Better Call Saul. I only know Bob Odenkirk from that episode of The Office where he was like Michael Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought he was great in that. So,
well, some trivia that everyone knows, and I'm sure you know, is that he originally auditioned to be Michael Scott, but he didn't get the part.
I didn't know that. Even though he's just as good as Steve Carell, I would imagine.
Yeah. He does a lot of writing, but he was also, I think he wrote on The Simpsons, but he also was in some show with Cross David Cross, yeah, called Mr. Show, whatever.
Oh yeah, I remember that one. I do remember that.
He's pretty funny.
Yeah, those guys are like under the radar funny. Like they're really funny, but like the mass media doesn't really acknowledge them.
They're like alternative music.
Yeah, they're like Kids in the Hall funny.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a deep cut. People are gonna be like, "What the hell is Kids in the Hall?" Very brought deep. That back.
I crush your head. That's what I remember all the time.
You know they brought it back.
Yeah, I can't make myself watch it.
Yeah, me either. What else? You got any? Is there any Marvel figure news? I know they're pushing Black Panther figures and stuff like that right now.
Oh God. Yeah,
I'm tired of it.
Yeah, all these.
What this agenda, dang. Man?
Yeah, it's all woke and ugh.
If this is your first episode, Simon's joking, and I'm not just really, really just non-confrontational. Simon is joking.
Yeah, that's the problem. So anyone listening to me probably wouldn't know, but anybody seeing me is that I'm white AF. And like a lot of times I'll make jokes and people are like, yeah, brother. And I'm like, oh,
no,
wrong crowd. I was just kidding. Same thing with, you know, whatever right wing agenda.
Yeah. Slippery slope, man.
Yeah, it's really slippery. Gosh, every day change a little bit more. There has been a lot of news, but I can't really remember any of it.
So, Marvel news, but you sent me a Donnie.
Oh yeah, yes. Super 7, and they're releasing, so they have like Zach the Neutrino, they have a Flot Splinter, which is like, okay, Slam Dunking Down, and
I'm getting that for sure. I had that as a kid. I want that rock and roll Donnie too.
Yeah, I do want that one too.
How tall are those? They look like they're a little bigger than I assumed they were.
They're not that tall. They're really about the same size as other brands. They're just built more accurately to the Playmates. But they're also releasing a Wing Nut, which is more accurate to the original action figure, not to the cartoon. And I'm going to get the hell out of that because I love that one.
Yeah, I like that character a lot.
Yeah, it's cool looking. But it's like 75. It comes pretty big, but it comes with screw loose too. So, I mean, whatever.
Oh, nice. You're getting two figs for one.
Yeah, but screw loose is like non-articulated and this big. So it's not like a huge thing. And Super 7's usually pretty good, but they almost every figure I've gotten from them has loose something, like hips, ooh, something. It's not a deal breaker, but it's always kind of disappointing.
Do you think they'll make a last Ronin figure?
I don't know. No, probably not.
Because they stick to more of like the classic, like remaking the old Playmates figures.
Yeah, or whatever. Like their Thundercats are all remakes of those old figures.
Yeah. They're doing the Power Rangers. Those Power Rangers look pretty good.
Power Rangers. Their Transformers are kind of cool, but they don't obviously transform. But they're Super 7 is like about deep cuts. So,
yeah.
Like, they have an Optimus Prime that comes with a surfboard and a basketball. Like, deep cuts. They also, let's see. But there is a Last Ronin Playmates figure, which I've heard is
pretty cool. Like it, man. I just don't. I need to see it. I didn't like the way the pictures looked.
I don't dig it either.
I pre-ordered it originally, but then I canceled my pre-order because I was just like, eh. And then I saw they had an expensive one that was like the all-white one. I'm like, why would I buy that?
Yeah. I think the only thing from everything I've seen is the only thing these are lacking from being like really good modern figures are like arm swivel and thigh swivel, I think. But
yeah,
everybody talks about how good it is, so I don't know.
And they sent out the other Last Ronin figure?
I've seen people get it, but
I pre-ordered the MF-er.
Yeah, I've not from Big Bad. I mean, I haven't seen people get it from Big Bad. Same as like I haven't gotten a Mummy figure from Big Bad. It hadn't released yet.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
We're not cool enough, man.
No.
We need to get Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird on the phone and tell them, hey, guys, stop fucking around.
They'll know us.
You're the modern day Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird.
Yeah, modern day.
That's a bold claim.
I mean, at the time, they weren't really that badass, were they? Yeah. They were just guys. They were just guys.
They're definitely just guys. We're modern day early Peter Laird and Kevin. Just dudes with a bunch of ideas.
Yeah. About carrots and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can't think of a lot of stuff.
Nothing. There it is, folks.
Oh, I got some cool stuff. Our buddy Marcus had a garage sale.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
Well, I don't know how it went for him because he doesn't know how to ask for the right amount.
You're like, I cleaned up.
I'm like, dude, let me give you some money. But he's a sweet dude. Anyway,
he's a great guy. Yeah.
So he had a Mach 5, but he had this one. So one thing I've been looking for forever, he happened to have two of, and it's Kaneda's bike from Akira.
Oh, nice. Right? Yeah.
The McFarlane version, which people are asking a shit ton of money for, and he sold it to me for a ridiculously low price. Damn. And then I got, I don't know what company made it, but a Mach 5, like a classic speed racer Mach 5.
I love that. You and I both love speed racer, even though speed racer is so obscure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a pretty popular anime. Not that obscure.
Yeah.
It's obscure for our age.
For like modern times.
But it comes with like the saw blades and it comes with the springy legs.
I always said if I won the lottery, like the stupid lottery, that's the car I would drive around. Like, I would obviously not like all the gadgets and stuff, but I would drive it.
Gotta have the gadgets.
It's gotta have the buzzsaw and the oil spill or whatever. Going up back in the spring tires.
Yeah. So it's ridiculously cool. And then he texted me later. He was like, oh, I forgot. I forgot
you owe me $400.
No. Yeah. No, he was like, hey, I have this Ed 209 that I forgot I had. Do you want it? I was like, fuck yeah, I want it. So there he is right there.
For people that don't know who Ed 209 is, non-RoboCop fans. Do you want to explain?
Oh, he's the big robot in RoboCop. That screams like a panther or something.
Yeah, very cool figure. Character. I don't know if the figure's cool. The
figure's pretty cool. He could use, I wish his toes articulated. Not that they did a lot in the show or movie.
Like, damn, I don't remember. It's just like his feet are just twiggle toes. Their nickname was Twiggle Toes.
Yeah, they're like three toes, and it would be nice if they moved a little bit to, because he's very stiff, but he's still a cool figure, and he makes noise. Which I, you know, whatever. Rawr, rawr. Yeah.
Whatever sound.
But other than that, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've been trying to slow down a little bit on my toy buying. It's very difficult. I do have
I feel like a lot of stuff hasn't come out right now, though. So it's easy to say that. Like if a bunch of cool stuff was dropping, you'd be like, eh.
Well, there's a bunch of shit that I know it's there. Yeah, so I'm not going to get it right now. Like, there's a Jin Sakai figure from
Last Ronin.
Figma, yeah.
I mean, not Last Ronin.
Right. Ghost of Tsushima. And it looks cool, but I've been burned by Figma figures in the past, so I've been kind of... And it's expensive.
Yeah, how much?
115.
Oof.
Yeah, try not to be spending $100 every 3 days.
But Figma, if you want to make it up to Simon and send him a figure so he can be back in your good graces, then do that. That'd be cool.
The reason I don't, they have weird joints. So I have the Samurai Batman, and that figure.
I remember you telling me that. Yeah, you had to alter that one, right?
Yeah, I had to do a few things to that.
You're the toy maker, like Santa Claus. Or well, I guess Santa didn't do the work. His elves
did. No, right? Yeah, he's the slave owner.
slave laborer. Yeah. That's all we got for trending topics, guys. We are going to take a second, and we'll be right back. We're reviewing the book Twig. So if you heard of that, if you're interested in it, come back and hear what we have to say.
You can hear this twig snap.
Welcome back, guys, and thank you for giving us a second to catch our breath. This is a section of the podcast where we review a trade. Sometimes we call it a trade review, sometimes we don't. This week on the podcast, as we mentioned earlier, we're reviewing a book by the title of Twig. It's written by Scotty Young, which is interesting because Scotty Young is an artist.
I'm sorry. In my mind, you said we're reading a book called Twig, and I was like, not Twink. Twig.
What is your deal today, man?
I don't know, man.
We're reading a book by the title Twig, written by Scotty Young, not illustrated by Scotty Young. We read, there was that book about the creepy darkness monster that was in love with the lady. Mm-hmm. That was written and illustrated by Scotty Young. Scotty Young's a great artist, distinct style, but he didn't do the art on this. So it was interesting. Yeah, but the art and covers have been by Kyle Strom.
I feel like he must have had an influence, though.
Yeah, maybe it's his understudy.
Mm-hmm.
Put him to work, free labor.
That's why it's called Twink.
You want to get big in this business? Huh? Let's as we progress, we're gonna have dumber and dumber jokes. So let's just get into it. Twig issue number one. As I mentioned, it's written by Scotty Young. The art and the covers are by Kyle Strom. It's the series premiere from the Eisner Award winning I Hate Fairyland and Middle West. We hadn't read Middle West. I think we would like that one. I think we might like I Hate Fairyland too. I've never read it, but people love it.
Sounds really hateful.
Yeah. Scotty Young and Kyle Strom come together for an all-new epic fantasy adventure miniseries. It's the first day of Twig's new job as a journeyer on a Jeff Smith's Bone-esque quest. Say that five times fast. I did not think I would be able to say that. It's a Bone-esque quest. I couldn't say it the second. To save a dark crystals labyrinth-style world. They really put the references, like, they really meshed that in there to where it was. I really try to let you know what this book is about. So, I'm going to restart that. It's the first day of Twig's new job as a journeyer on a Jeff Smith's Bone-esque quest to save a The Dark Crystals labyrinth-style world.
Jeez, that's stupid.
In case you didn't know what this book was going to be about, we're going to let you know. Join our hesitant hero for an inspiring and imaginative tale of hope, heartache, and determination to overcome insurmountable odds. Yeah, they need to find a better copywriter for that one. That was rough.
Yeah. Yuck.
Twig. Very different than what we have been reading. I feel like I wanted to switch it up. There was a superhero book that I wanted to read this week that I think we'll slot into next week, but I feel like we've been doing a lot of superhero books. Mm-hmm. It's like, you and I both enjoy the other indie titles outside of like the, you know, bad guys fighting or good guys fighting supervillains type thing. So I wanted to switch it up, and I do like Bone. And I imagine that it was sort of a Bone-esque story. I'm going to start using Bone-esque in my regular vocabulary.
Yeah.
So I want to know, first of all, I always like to know what you think when I send it over to you. Like, hey, this is what we're reading off the cover alone. I want to know, like, what did you think?
Well, I don't like to base. I don't like to base a book by its cover.
You can't see a cover and be like, I have no thoughts.
Yes. Well, I was curious where this weird Muppet journey was going to take us. I don't know what it reminds me of. Maybe Stitch. Maybe.
Okay, everybody, it's Michael E. Cullen II.
And I'm Sesame Incarta from the All Too Real 2 podcast. We're passionate about movies, TV, and pretty much all things pop culture.
Dive into the chaos of failed sitcoms, direct-to-video sequels, and the quirky realms of cinema and TV.
Join us every Thursday for your dose of All Too Real 2 entertainment.
We'll guide you through debates like whether Howard the Duck qualifies as a superhero.
Ponder if Larry the Cable Guy could be the new Rock or Schwarzenegger.
Discover if some shows and movies should have stayed in the cutting room.
Ever heard of a sitcom featuring that dictator with the funny mustache? Well, we watched it.
We're dedicated to unraveling the peculiarities of pop culture, sometimes with awesome guests.
So, if you're into the eccentric world of pop culture,
listen and subscribe to All Too Real 2.
Available wherever you find podcasts
and on Age of Radio.
Something like that, but I was very intrigued by the whole world. Everything kind of has everything. especially by the cover. It's like everything has eyes. Some things don't have eyes. Some things have eyes that probably shouldn't, and some things that should don't. But I was very intrigued by whatever world this is. But it kind of reminds me of like a PlayStation property, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
It
was kind of like a Clank, I got like a Jim Henson vibe from it at first. Like, this would be a great Jim Henson property. Not my art teacher from high school, but like the more recognized one.
Yeah, that's a reference only I would get. We actually had a teacher at our school named Jim Henson, and everybody was like,
yeah, he wasn't as pleasant as I assumed the real Jim Henson was.
I've heard he was a real dick. He didn't like his son. Not a good relationship.
Maybe they were more like than I'm like you though, man. It reminds me of like
Little Big Planet.
Yeah,
it's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
I can see Little Big Planet mixed with like a Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything about Fraggle Rock at all, except the little Muppet characters.
The little Jim Muppets and their the big guys like to eat their buildings. That's what I know.
Yeah, there were slave laborers that worked in mines. I think I remember that correctly. It was about the establishment.
Right.
That's what that show was about. Teaching us very young. But let's get into it, man. Favorite things about this? What did you enjoy about this issue? What didn't really hit for you?
The first one, it was just fun to kind of figure out what the hell was going on. Like, there's a lot more art and big panels.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed. Just seeing, you know, where this journey is taking us. We get dropped in. We always talk about being dropped in. It's like almost too much. We stay how much we talk about how we like to be dropped in.
Yeah, if you didn't know.
But it's definitely like, oh, an alarm goes off and oh shit, now we're on this thing. We don't even know what's going on. The concept of the story, which fleshes out over the thing, I think is amazing. Just the idea of being the person behind whatever. Like,
and it really doesn't hit until the end, but
right.
Yeah. Because throughout the book, I was like, this is fine. It's going pretty steadily. I get it. It's, I mean, whatever, it's happening. And then at the end, they kind of hit you with the, and this is just me because I'm slow, but like at the end, I was like, oh, this is way better now that I look through it at the lens of like, this is behind the scenes. This is the main, this technically isn't the main character.
Right.
And like, if this was Zelda, Link is doing his story on another, in a whole nother book.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. This is the behind the scenes.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. I think this is what kind of reminded me of like, was it Ocarina of Time, where he goes up to the big tree at the beginning of it?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not a Zelda fan. Zelda's the guy with the sword, right?
Yes, where he goes to the great Deku tree, yes.
Yeah, it reminded me of Zelda a lot. I will say there is one panel that I couldn't get over it. And it was, I don't know why I couldn't get over it. I was annoyed with myself. So the giant rock mountain god character opens his mouth up to create a bridge for him to walk across, go in, and meet the people inside the belly mines, right? But it's like he's walking away from the tongue in the panel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does kind of look like it.
And I'm like, I couldn't get over it. I mean, it was like 10 minutes where I was like, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I know what's going on. But I'm like, why would he be walking away if the next man is walking in?
Maybe he's kind of like walking backwards.
I'll take it. But this does. It does, like you said, it has sort of a video game vibe to it. And I wouldn't be surprised if this was based off a video game that I just never heard of. What do you think about his side character, Splat?
It's pretty funny. Little banana slug type thing.
Yeah, typical Ratchet and Clank. Mm-hmm. Type character. They should make this a game. Have you guys ever thought about making this a game? Scott,
you guys?
Scott, yeah. I like it. He's a journeyman. His dad was not seeker, but he was the guy that went out and went on quest, essentially to prop up the main hero.
Yeah, what are they? It's like, I forget what the placeling. Placeling is what they call it. So, you're their whole job and their whole journey, which is just as important as the hero's journey, is to put whatever important thing needs to be. And these miners are like part of it too. They find the important thing, mm-hmm. but put the important thing in the way of the hero. So yeah. this whole
and there's book like a time just, limit.
Yeah.
That's what I really liked about it. Cause I didn't understand why they were so, the way the book is structured is like, this is the main character and he's on his journey, but there's like this time limit, but the time limit's kind of lax because it's like, and we'll talk about that in later issues where it's like, we have to do this. You're running late. We're behind. And it's like, well, you have a side quest, which is typical. Like you're playing a video game and it's the end of the world, but then you have a zillion side quests. And you're like, if it's the end of the world, why am I going to get tomatoes from the Berry Mountain?
Yeah. There is something, and I can't remember exactly what it is, but there is something in here that kind of, he is late. Like his whole thing in this first issue is that he started late, like you said, but there's something in here that kind of, it's kind of like, okay, he's late, but he's not really, this is all according to plan. Like he didn't learn. I think it's, okay, so his father died. He was the last placeling. And so he was the last one that knew enough to be a placeling in his place. And there's something along the lines that just kind of clicked later. It was like, oh, this is all on purpose. Like his dad didn't teach him enough so that he was lagging behind. Like all this stuff just kind of like fell into place.
Yeah, which I can get, like maybe some people don't like that. I think it worked really well for the story. But he didn't want to be a placeling. He wanted to be a chef, but his dad died before he took an apprentice to be the next one. So like you said, it's all kind of serendipitous. Like his dad died without taking an apprentice so he could become the placeling so that he could be late to deliver the thing right in time. Like everything was supposed to happen the way it happened. Yeah. Especially in the next issue, and we'll talk about it in a second. Something happened and I was like, that's a little convenient, but whatever. Yeah, I'll take it. This is very kid-friendly. If you're out there and you want to find a book for your kids or your nieces or nephews, very kid-friendly. There is a little bit of death in the first issue. Not gruesome or anything. I mean, there's just a dead body.
Yeah. Well, and it's like a skeleton. It's not like
skeleton.
A...
It's not a dead body.
Rigor mortis. I want to
see a dead body.
And that's it. I don't tip... You know, at first I didn't like the character design, the main character. But it grew on me. It grew on me. And I love how... Just talking about some things that I love. I love the world. You mentioned it earlier. I just love how random and whimsical and creative it is. Since starting this podcast, I never had an appreciation for the colorist. But more and more as we review these books, I think it's such an important job. And I can't believe that I didn't realize how important it was, because the colors in this book are like top tier, man.
Yeah. Colors are important for everyday life. You know,
yeah, colors.
If you couldn't see colors, you would just drive right through stoplights.
You wouldn't be allowed to drive. What things didn't hit for you this issue, man? Anything that you? I mean, this is the first issue. It's not bad. You're still accepting a lot of stuff.
I'm still learning about the world. I can't say that anything. Overall, everything was just pleasant. You know, there was nothing that there's no. Super hard-hitting lessons or you know, concepts. It's just like, oh, this guy's doing this thing and here we go.
I'm really glad though too. It's kind of a relief from like what we've been reading. Not saying we've been reading really complex things lately, but like this is just refreshing. I love the panels where it's like he's on the journey and it's legitimate, no word panels, it's two pages. You know me, I don't like to read, so it's like two pages of just him going through this vast land.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an ongoing theme with like each issue is him traveling, which I really appreciate because you kind of get a glimpse of the world without having to dive really into it.
Yeah, I kind of appreciate things just being like, we don't need to know the backstory of every character. Disney, Star Wars, we don't need to know the backstory of every second cousin. Okay, it's okay.
I think that's why I like Adventure Time so much, because it's just in your face. Complete randomness, and you can rewatch that show a zillion times and pick something out that you never saw before.
Yeah, and this we did not mention that, but this also has like a pretty heavy Adventure Time motif
Yeah.
Kind of the same kind of thing. Very strange.
Yeah.
But yeah, I dig it so far. So far, so good. Yeah,
you know, we don't see a lot of other characters in this book. Mm-hmm. We see like the belly cave people, and then we don't really see anything else. And we don't have at this point, issue one, we don't have like an antagonist. The being late and the turmoil of not wanting to do the job is sort of the antagonist as right now.
It's a really creative way of naming crabs.
Yes.
Cave, inner cave people or whatever you said just now. I forgot what you said.
I mean, I'm trying to be PC, dog.
Lower cave people. Is that what you said?
Whatever. Belly. I said belly cave.
Belly cave. Yeah. Crab.
The Me You Love in the Dark was the book I was talking about earlier. Sidebar.
Mm. Yes.
All right, Tom, take it away, man. Issue numero dos.
This is the second issue that we've had that's like one. Last week was the same one.
Yeah.
The death of the Pathsayer sends Twig and Splat on a journey to a mysterious lab where premonition sheds dark light on further dangers to come.
Cover was wild. I don't know if you saw the covers in the collected edition. Yeah. Covers were wild. I was
really curious what the deal was going to be with the slobbery things.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of the Lich King, and I don't want to talk about Adventure Time too much in this, but it reminded me, and I thought he was going to be like this antagonist, but he, spoiler alert.
Wasn't. Yeah, same. I didn't realize it was going to be. I mean, he was just there, not a big deal.
This is where I was talking about in the last issue where it was really convenient because they have this guy. He's the Pathsayer. He's the one that tells the placeling the journey, like. I love the concept of like the cave people find the artifact. They're like, we don't know anything about it. That's your job. And then the placeling takes it to the past there and he's like, oh, I'll do my concoction and I'll tell you where you need to go. Mm-hmm. I love the concept of that. But like, why even have this character if you can just randomly put a bunch of things and maybe the him being a chef plays into it a little bit, but.
Yeah, well, and that's what I was talking about. So this whole thing, he talks about how this isn't necessarily his destiny. This isn't really what he wanted.
Yeah.
All that, but it all plays into being advantageous for him. So,
yeah.
So like you're saying, there's this machine that he says, oh, it took a lifetime for this guy to understand how to use this machine, but we have until morning. And as a chef, he's like, I don't know, I kind of feel like these ingredients will work. And, it mostly works.
My gut feeling or whatever.
Yeah, and it mostly works, but it basically destroys the artifact.
Yeah.
But, again, everything that's happening is happening for a reason. You know, we destroy the artifact, and then he gets to remember things about his dad, gives us an insight to his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then realizes that he's got to go further on this journey, which is just going to lead him exactly where he needs to go.
Yeah, and we get a glimpse of like what the journey is. There's a hero. Uh-huh. We have these like creatures, which we never ever get introduced to, really.
Yeah,
because it's not part of this story, you know. And I really appreciate that. One thing I can say for myself is that if you know me, I'm not like an accredited writer or anything. I'm just a guy with a ton of ideas. But one thing that holds me back when I'm creating these ideas is like, I don't know, like not letting my creativity fly, just like off the handle. And when I see an image like this splash page of just like this giant bird monster with this robot eye, monocle, binocular thing, and then like all these monsters and creatures, I'm like, I'm really jealous of someone that's able to just let it all fly. I'm like, who cares if it's silly? Right. It's just awesome. It was awesome to see.
Yeah, because you don't have to make up a story for why that bird has that thing.
Yeah, it doesn't matter at all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, nope. And so he, you know, Splat tells him to get out of the thing, and then it breaks, like you said. And so now we have our real journey. And I didn't think about it like this until you said it. Like, all of this stuff is happening for a reason. Like, if he would have been... maybe it wouldn't have worked out the same way if he would have woke up on time. And even Splat tells him, like, he said, I thought I told you in the first issue, he's like, I thought I told you I couldn't be late to this. And he was like, yeah, you did say that, but you also didn't say anything to me about waking you up. Like, That's on you, man. I'm sitting here waiting on you. And so everything sort of happened serendipitous, man. I really like that.
It's kind of, and I mentioned earlier that there weren't any heavy concepts, but I mean, there really is. And it's just, and we'll get into it later, but this whole book is kind of like, you know, people's like, oh, I wish that hadn't happened because this, and it's like, well, you'll never know. You'll never know what it should have been because it happened.
Yeah, it happened.
So you just kind of have to navigate.
Keep going, man. And that's what this book is really about. I will say something that it's not something that I didn't like. Something I was just like, ugh, gross. The chit, whatever they're called. Those little monster things. Oh my God. Gross. Yeah, but like great. Weird. That's not like a complaint. It was just like, ugh. Those things would give me the heebie-jeebies in real life.
Yeah, they're like featherless birds with, they're basically chickens with no heads, but where and, the and neck teeth. Would, it had teeth. Yeah.
Yeah. Nightmare fuel. Again, we get an exposition of like him traveling, which I really like. I mean, it's like he's going through a desert mixed with a lava lamp. He's going through this like Aztec city and then he's going through this meadow. I love it. It doesn't make any sense and it doesn't have to make any sense.
Right.
We get these whole people in this area in that Aztec city too, and it's like we don't like you said, we don't need a background or an explanation. It's great. Is there anything in this issue that you didn't like? Or we do get introduced to that character, the Necronomicon or whatever.
The Nectarmancer, I think, is what he's called. It didn't like. I read it and I didn't register it the first time.
Yeah, because these artifacts are filled with nectar, which are basically like a spiritual energy.
Now I've continued to not. Let me start over. I haven't disliked anything. It's been really interesting. He seemingly has these like bumps in the road.
Uh-huh.
But really, and I mean, having read it, you know that it's not a big deal, but you're like, oh, well, I mean, it's just, we're on to the next part of the story. Like, there's not going to be a hitch in the plane because that's how comic books work. Like, we'll just go to the next thing. And here we are. So. Yeah. It seemed like it was going to be predictable, but it really, I mean, it's still a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, especially the next issue. Like, I was like, oh, okay. Fucking duh.
Well, it feels predictable. And I feel like when they're writing this, they know it feels predictable. So the cliffhanger is, oh yes, you'll find the final element on the moon.
The moon.
To be continued. And so it's like, it's not a super serious book. But that's an obstacle where you're like, oh, well, obviously I got to see what's going on in the next issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well-placed light cliffhanger.
Right.
Yeah, and that's issue two. Twig, issue number 3. As they continue their quest for the gems that will hopefully save their world, Twig and Splat run afoul of the Trappers, a deadly group of hunters with nothing good on their minds. And the Trappers are not the only menace waiting for them along their way. Now, that doesn't even sound familiar for me. Oh, never mind. Yeah. It's like one dude, though.
Yeah, that's what I was like. It's not really a group.
Yeah, that's what they threw me off. I hate the use of the teeth in this book, man.
Yeah, they're into that.
And that's not a gripe. Like, I'm not saying that's a negative point for me. I just, from personally, I'm like, ah.
Gross. Teeth.
Jeez. All right, so issue number 3, man. How you feeling?
Well, this is the one. So he gives them the quest of what they need to do. And like once I got to the end, it said, you need the heart of this, whatever. This is where I was like, we get there. He talks to the character. And I was like, oh, this is not like, it's of course, like, it means like.
Yeah, it's like metaphorical, yeah.
Right. I was like, ugh. But only because
it's the tone of the story, though.
Yeah, no, it's not stupid. It's just that's where I was like, oh, that's kind of predictable a little bit. I don't like that everybody slobbers in this. Like, everybody slobbers. There's too much slobber.
I like that. Some of the things that I like about this book is, again, that's an ongoing theme. I didn't notice it. I thought that it might have been, but for sure, it's an ongoing theme of, like, traveling. And that has to be my highlight of the book. Like, he's traveling across this infinite bridge with these just, like, space creatures. It's great. And then he's going through this water world. Then he's on this, like, this desert with these totems. I mean, these are some of my favorite panels, man.
Not really. Those have been some of my favorite, just like the works of art, you know. These could just stand alone, hang them on your wall.
Creativity in it is just great. I'm with you, though. It's a little predictable at the end. I'm glad, though. And I don't know if we get the reveal. I actually don't think we get the reveal in this one. I think it's in the next one.
Yeah.
But it was cool to see Splat do, like, a Ratchet and Clank, like, usefulness.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We never seen him use any, like, powers before, but in this time he glows and turns into, like, a parachute. It's like, man, you could probably be more useful in this story.
Well, yeah. And we get this kind of standoff at the end of it, and you're like, this is such a sweet, innocent character. Obviously, is he? And I didn't know.
I didn't know the direction
of this story. I was like, ooh, maybe he will. But, like,
you know, yeah, it's an Image book. So sometimes they like to take these innocent type characters. Like, not the Me You Love in the Dark is not an innocent story, but it gets real dark real fast, you know? Yeah. Yeah. And so I thought, man, they really going to do, like, I really like this character, man. It's like a wholesome protagonist. And is he really about to kill this thing?
Well, and if honestly, and I think it's kind of a test because, well, okay, he doesn't yet. In the next issue, that's when it was like, okay, this is just a thing. Like, I feel bad for it. It's the last one. Okay, it's sad, right?
This was kind of sad, though. Okay, essentially, what Tom and I are talking about is he has a quest to get the ingredients to rebuild the stone, the artifact. And one of the first ones is he has to get the heart of this creature. He goes to this barren wasteland. They're all destroyed by poachers. There's one, like, baby, cute Disney version of one left. The other ones are massive skulls and things like that. There's, like, this cute, innocent creature surviving, right? And he's got to kill it. And we get the cliffhanger where he pulls the knife, he corners it, he pulls the knife out, and it's very, like, it's not cute, even though he's still the same character. He's, like, sort of somber face, he has his knife out, and then it ends, and I'm like, damn. They're about to do this, man.
Well, and in the next issue, it makes it worse. A lot of times, you know, shit, I don't like killing animals, but I love hamburgers. You know, I'm not gonna sniff at some venison. So, you know, it's kind of in those moments, you're like, well, it sucks, but higher life form, right?
Well, and in this instance, it's like we learn the gravity of the situation, and they say this was the last artifact. This was the last...
It's the last Heartstone or whatever he calls it.
Yeah, like, it was the last mission that you would have to go on for the hero. Yeah. Then you can be whatever you want. If not, it's like the end of the world. So it's high stakes. Right. So he's put in a corner like, if I don't do this, the hero dies. And he's been having dreams every time he falls asleep of the hero getting defeated by this shadowy figure. So he's like backed into a corner at this instance.
Right.
Yeah, that's that issue, man. Take it away, issue number 4.
I don't know how to read. Twig, issue 4. Following their encounter with the horned beast, adventurers Twig and Splat must figure out how to travel to the location of the final item. But with basically everything trying to kill them along the way, will they live long enough to get to the moon?
The moon?
The moon? So, it was a good cliffhanger. Literally, because they're on a cliff, but...
I mean, it starts out pretty good, too, because they don't immediately rectify it the way we were talking about. I mean, there is an instance where I'm like, damn.
Well, this is where it really, to me, becomes high stakes. Because a lot of times, when you have a situation like that, the animal is just cute, right?
Can't talk.
But this one is sentient. He has thoughts. He doesn't have a name, and he's kind of stupid. Kind of. He looks more stupid than he is, for sure.
Well, he was like, and he was like a baby, family died, and then grew up on his own.
Yeah, and he's still smart as.
Yeah, he's as smart as a person would be at that in that situation.
Yeah, but he's like, hey, you know, if you need to kill me to save the planet.
Well, I love it because it's even deeper than that because he's like, I didn't do anything to anybody. What? I'm not a danger to the world.
Yeah.
And he's like, no.
What will killing me do to save the world? Yeah.
Yeah. And then he explains it to him and it's like a single panel. No words. He just has a tear. And I'm like, this is good, man. Like for this book to be so lighthearted and like kid friendly, like this is a good back and forth between the two of them.
Yeah.
And he's like childlike and he's like, he asks, will it hurt? And it's just like, this is, it's like, you have to think about, you don't like hurting animals. Not saying that I do like hurting animals. I'm just saying.
You don't like hurting animals. You don't like hurting animals. Sometimes I like to swing cats around.
You don't like hurting animals like me. So you wouldn't know. I'm saying it's like, you know the situation where you got to take a dog out. Not saying you personally, but you know what I'm talking about. Where it's like,
well, taking it, put down. Yeah, yeah. No, that's not fun.
Imagine if that dog could talk, though. And he's like, is this going to hurt? Like, that's sad. This is a sad situation.
Yeah, and I mean,
it's lightened by being a fictional pink rhinoceros character, but like the words behind it is sad, man.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I my parents are very farm life people, and
my wife's name is very farm life, so
they had beloved, they had beloved pets that got into somebody else's chickens, and it's like we've had these dogs for 12 years, 10 years, and it's like, well, gotta put the dog down,
Very young, my son was very young, and one of my in-laws' dogs bit my son, and they had to do farm justice.
Yeah, and it's like
no questions asked, and I was like, I'll do it. I don't have any qualms. I'll come out and
You don't like hurting animals like I like hurting animals.
I don't like hurting animals. I'm indifferent about animals. That's the difference.
Right, yes. Indifference and willingly hurting are different.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a testament to my innocence by me being sad by this because when he pulls the knife up, I'm like, no, don't do it.
You're the good guy.
Please don't do it.
Yeah.
And then they're sharing a meal together. And you can tell by his like sort of reaction, it's like he knows he messed up.
Yeah. He's continuing to fail. Essentially, like he feels like he's been a failure from the beginning and now he is again.
Yeah, he knows he messed up. He knows, but he also knows like who he is and like he knows that he couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And that's one hell of a character trait. I get so tired of like modern day stories on like the characters that have to do like the gritty thing for justice. It just feels good to have a character that's like, the whole world's at stake, but it's also just goes against who I am. So I cannot do it.
Yeah, that's true. But that, you know, I've always thought about that. Like if it came down, if I had to go stomp on my cat's head or the world was going to end.
You're a monster, man.
Yeah, I'm just like, just let the world in. I don't give a shit. It ain't that great.
I like my cat enough. And that's the thing. I don't really like animals, but I've formed a truce with my cat.
It's just to me it's like
but if I had to pick the rest of the world or my cat, I'd pick my cat.
I'm like, ain't that great, man.
Everybody's stressed out anyway.
How are we gonna go out?
Everybody needs a long nap. Just me and my cat.
How's everybody gonna go out? If it's quick, then definitely not gonna stomp on the cat's head. Anyway, point is the character here, we've digressed into this. He's slobbering again. Twig slobbering. Everybody slobbers. Yeah.
And he's like furry too, so it's gotta be gross.
Yeah, super gross. But he stinks.
I'd like to see this as like a Dark Crystals. Have you heard of Dark Crystals? I'd like to see this as a Dark Crystals.
What about a bone?
Bone-esque.
Bone in. It's my favorite kind of wing. I really do like his visions because we still know nothing. He just sees these visions of failure. And that's it.
And that hero looks cool, man.
That's mushroom hat.
Mushroom hat. I'm a sucker for like the giant gloves, giant boots. I mean, he looks cool. We don't ever see his face.
You know what? though, for a long time, and I'm surprised it didn't end like this, I really thought, and this isn't a spoiler because it didn't happen, I really thought that Twig, like, he was seeing his future.
Yeah, me too. I thought that he was going to put on the gloves, you know, like the hero's journey, you get some of the stuff. I thought he was going to put on gloves in the next issue.
And yeah, because he's sword. And he cooks with mushrooms earlier. I don't know why I connected those, but I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be him. I did
too. Especially because they went out of their way to not show the hero's face. But then we learned that it's because it's not about the hero.
Right.
Yeah. And this is still sort of hero's journey without being hero's journey, because now the Rhino character is part of his entourage.
Yeah. He's going to speed up the journey. Right.
Yeah. Fast travel.
Yeah, and I love they name him. He didn't have a name before. Like, he's truly.
Yeah, and he's not so much a rhino because his front legs are like longer than his back legs. It looks gross. If you saw that in real life, you'd be like, ugh.
Just imagine that he has human skin. You know what I mean? Like a pig.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like real thin skin, not rhino skin.
Yeah. His tail. His tail is definitely like a testicle.
Yeah, yeah. It is gross. Bulbous. We cross this swampy mud area and we get this giant mud monster, which looks great, man.
It did look great, but it was kind of funny because it's even on the cover, I think, of this issue, but it's not important.
Not important at all.
Not at all.
Not important at all. More land travels. I mean, I cannot say it enough. It's probably my favorite part of this book, man. Like, they're going through this like ice cream desert, then lava lamp volcano, and then they're crossing this ocean, which is what I assume the ocean is like in real life. Terrified, like swimming in giant bodies of water.
Definitely, yeah. Don't go in the ocean,
like,
man.
This thing is stuffed like soup. Like, you couldn't get in that water without like stepping on a fish. That's what I feel like the ocean looks like. That's why I don't know how to swim.
Yeah, Nicole, when we on our honeymoon, she kept going out deep. She loves to go out. And I'm like, no, if you start to drown, I'm not coming after you.
I did it one time when I'm thinking about the Mushroom King. I did it one time and I was like, not doing that again. That was terrifying. And another thing, we talk about Adventure Time. And I said I wasn't going to talk about it too many times. But when they roll up on this, like, locked up barricade, right?
Yeah, the knot.
They have the knot, and they have this creature that's trapped in this coffin, not coffin, but trapped in this thing.
I know, yeah.
It reminded me of Adventure Time. It just did, and I was like, "This is an episode of Adventure Time."
Well, yeah, and it's so interesting because he gets this whole thing. He gets this key from the guy.
Yeah.
The
path sayer.
Okay, yeah. So the path sayer. So obviously that was for a reason. It was one of the few items that were on his dead body.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you said about like everything happens for a reason, which didn't register until you brought it up.
Yeah, so this whole thing, this guy is like, well, he needs a song from this creature. That was the second step that he gets from the nectar
Mancer.
Whatever. Nectar Mancer, yeah. And he's like, I can't let you out, you're dangerous. He's like, I don't even know why I'm in here. I can't remember. I've been here.
I really like that, man.
Yeah, I've been here so long, I can't remember why I'm here. I can't remember if I'm dangerous. I don't know.
He's like, I'm not gonna hurt you. You're gonna let me out. Why would I hurt you? I've been here for so long, man. And the guy inside the thing is like, I'm also probably just going crazy. Like, I've had conversations before. I don't even know if you're real. So
yeah, I don't know if you're there. And it's like everything looks kind of creepy. Even our main character, if it weren't for the big eyes, like, he would be creepy. He's got little like raccoon hands and feet. I don't dig.
Yeah, I don't like that either, man. It grew on me. Like, the character itself grew on me, but at first I was like, ugh. I'll kick that thing.
Yeah, definitely. So he barters with this thing. He lets it out. It looks creepy as hell, but really, you know.
Oh my god, crap my pants, scary. Like, like in real life, if that thing jumped out at me, I mean, I would pass out probably.
Yeah, but you know, again, that's not the important part of the story. Like, he just goes on and that's it.
He says, and he tells him the song. He tells him the song, and the character reacts in a not so pleasant way, but more teeth.
Blah.
Yeah, like
human, gross, old meth teeth.
Meth teeth, like receding gum teeth. Yeah.
Oh, heebie-jeebies, man. I hate it.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you have bad teeth, I don't hate you.
Just don't smile at me.
Just don't eat around me.
Yeah, eat like. I'm trying to remember that cartoon where it's like an apple and Squidward when he's trying a Krabby Patty for the first time and his teeth like
it takes a tiny. And then the thing just bounces. That was cool.
Yeah, like again, not important. Like that was what he needed from him and now he's gone.
But our main character is essentially in tears after he gets his song, quote unquote.
Yeah, because not what he expected. He thought that was it.
Yeah. Also, we get the return of, we didn't talk about it, the way he gets away from the trapper is Splat. This is an issue too. Splat saves the day.
Starts a fire. Yeah,
he starts a fire and burns that guy. But that guy was terrible. Great middle antagonist. Because he was like, I don't want to eat you. I'm going to skin you. And then I'm going to sell you.
I'm going to skin you.
I imagine he talked like that.
Bibbidi bop.
And then he shows up with gross, like, eczema skin and he's back.
Yeah, he's burnt. I've never liked the meaty, like where they have like thick forearm, like Popeye forearm.
Popeye, yeah. Yeah. I don't either. And I don't like the teeth. But at the same time, I think it's a great character design.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's just gross.
It is gross.
It achieved what they wanted to achieve.
Yeah, and it's like unrecognizable. It's not humanoid, and I really appreciate that about this book, because there's no humanoid characters.
Right. This is, I would say, it's almost like the Oddworld games, you know? Like Munch's Odyssey, Abe's Odyssey, like all those. Yeah. It's kind of like that. Gross.
I agree. And that's issue number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads us to the mini series finale, Twig issue number 5, the conclusion of the dark fantasy adventure series from Eisner Award-winning writer Scotty Young and artist Kyle Strom brings Twig and Splat to the end of their quest. But will they acquire the final piece of the recipe that they need to save the world, or will they die trying? Like 50 Cent.
What is Spread about? Is that like my concho?
Well, yeah, I hope so. I did a full spray. We had a Patreon episode at that. Why was that outro?
Oh, it's because it was, what was it? I don't remember.
The fist of Mike Concho, because it was like <That's> Concho. <yeah. laughs> that was the intro and outro. I did a full spread.
That is just so good.
Yeah, the episode is okay, but the intro and outro were last issue, Simon. Issue number 5. When I'm reading this, I'm like, I'm enjoying it. It's very fast-paced. I'm talking about the entire story. A lot of stuff happens for convenience, and I didn't really get it until the end.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, this is kind of fast-paced. I hope Simon doesn't hate it. I think that a lot whenever I'm reading. I'm like, I hope Simon doesn't hate it. But also, I also think, like, I hope Simon does hate it. So we have contrasting opinions.
You can assume that I hate everything. But... Yeah, this is the moment where it all started to come together, but I knew it was, like I said earlier, I knew it was going to happen. So the big deal with the rhino guy, we need the heart of whatever beast this is, right? Heart of the beast. He saves them by basically like doing a down B.
Yeah.
Down B with the Bowser.
Yeah. Like a jump stomp. Yeah.
On this rickety bridge, stone bridge. And he's like, it's okay, Twig, save the world, so whatever. Blows up the bridge.
He's like, no, bitch, him. I need your heart.
Yeah, 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 don't die yet. I needed your shit.
I could have killed you 3 issues ago.
Also, this bridge, just teeth. It's all teeth. It's your favorite. Just teeth.
Yeah, man.
We get it, bro. You don't have to put teeth on everything. Dude falls. Cute character falls. This is a Disney movie, you know.
Yeah.
Twig's trying to give up.
Yeah, he quits.
But, you know, whatever his friend, Banana Slug, forget his name.
Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah. He's like, nah, dog, I'll do it then, bitch.
Yeah, it was very cool. That I like that panel, like him putting on the backpack and then just like using all his tendrils, like
yeah, just to scoot it across one. Yeah. Very good. And I appreciate that. It's like, well, fuck it, I'll do myself. And you know, because sometimes you gotta do that. Why does everything have teeth? He makes this pizza, puts it in a tooth oven. Why does everything have teeth?
I hate it, man. I hate it. And again, we talk, usually when we break down issues, we talk about what we like, what we don't like. And it's not that I don't like it as a negative point of the book. I personally am just like, that's gross.
Yeah, it's weird.
Fine for the book.
Also, it sounds like, I can imagine for someone not reading along, that sounds like a fever dream. We're talking about a banana slug carrying a backpack, and then we're talking about a pizza in a tooth oven.
Yeah, read this book.
Read the book. You go, oh, yeah, man, it's just a lot. Like, he's remembering. I kind of wish it was a show don't tell moment, right? Yeah. So the beast falls and he supposedly dies, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then he makes the connection and says like, oh, we've lost it. We've lost, you know, there's no way. He gives up, but then he has this flashback of his father like, no, your heart isn't necessarily your heart. It's a metaphysical thing. It's like how you feel. It's your attitude, yeah. You know? And he's like, oh, so, you know, we're good anyway. But then we get this weird Popeye ghost character.
Who I think that design is so good to me. It's like he has a ghost raft, right? He's part of it. And his eye is like floating above his head. Like a cloud. I think it's a fucking great design.
Yeah, he's wearing a little hat. It's very Sam Keith. But the beast isn't dead. You know, he managed to evolve. I do love, but again, it's like, ugh, obvious. Rhino falls, lands on one tiny little twig.
Twig.
Who saves him. Yeah. So
it was golden. Cute. It was cute. It was cute.
They get more fast travel. You know, this whole thing. About just finding a faster way around.
Yeah, at this point, this ghost ship is going to take it to the moon. Oh, you guys want to go to the moon? I happen to be able to go to the moon.
Yeah, yeah, and the moon is so close that they just kind of have to climb mountains and stuff. Like, it's just there.
Yeah.
This was one of the weirdest things. And I don't know, man. It was weird.
It was weird. I liked it.
Yeah, it's great. But like the moon is really kind of like this, it's almost like the slug god.
Yeah, it gets real trippy because he gets to the moon and it is a ball, but then he wakes it up. So it's essentially not a ball, it's asleep, and he wakes it up with his song. We learned that the song that Gelatinous Crane told him earlier was, "You can't, everyone has their own," whatever the crane voice is. I hate his voice.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own song, essentially.
Everyone has their own song.
That's like a gross crow. And so he sings his weird nymph song and wakes up this giant, totally like trippy slug. Like letting your hand just work. Not even putting any thought into it. Just like wherever the lines take me.
I don't even know if he was looking at the page when he drew it, but
yeah,
it's cool.
I can appreciate it, man. Yeah, I can appreciate that.
And
it cries because of his song, and it's like the grossest looking cry.
It's a kernel of corn.
Yeah.
It's like kernel of corn on there.
And that's it. He reactivates the gym that he broke. And just so happens to make it back home in time for Mushroom Link to be walking up the steps. I mean, it's a movie.
Yeah, it's great. It's really cool.
This is written to be a movie. Like not a bad way. Sometimes we read books and it's like, oh God, they're trying to make a movie. This is like, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said it's the last Heartstone. And he makes it like five steps ahead of the hero.
Yep. Puts it in a sword, and that looks cool. That's a cool panel.
I am the power. That's definitely a He-Man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Like, the hero the main hero of this universe, the main hero of this universe is about to start his adventure.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the start. This is the start of the game, the real game.
Oh, yeah. These guys are like, yeah, let's, all right. That's like, he's at the maybe midpoint at 75%. Like, he just pulled the master sword. Yeah. Now he's going to do the real shit.
And these guys are like, all right, we're done. War's done. Let's ride off into the sunset. And with that last page, they really just like, we're just going to jam-pack the universe into this last page.
Yeah, and they literally are riding off into the sunset.
Yeah. Man, crazy. But then we also get the last page. Twig will return. So,
more in Avengers.
Dun, dun, dun. Whatever the Avengers music is. That's it. That's Twig. Issue 1-5. It's an Image book. Scotty Young. Kyle Strom. Simon, overall, man. I know we've talked about what we liked. What'd you think afterwards, man? Did you hate it? Did you enjoy it?
It was really enjoyable. It was really enjoyable. It was, you know, like you said, not overbearing. It had a fun little message to it. You know, you could share this with your kids. You could share this with your wife. She doesn't want to see gross stuff or superheroes. Yeah. Like, this is fun. I mean, there's gross stuff in here, but oh, there's a Peach Momoko cover. Did you see that?
Yeah. It anyway, looks well. That's creepy. If you saw that, you'd be like, what is this book? That cover's a little creepy.
Yeah.
I agree with you though, man. It's refreshing from like the stuff that we've been reading. It was an easy read. I mean, when I got done with it, I was like, that's it. Like it was, it was that easy of a read, and it was lighthearted. The hero wins at the end. I mean, it was just a good story, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's kind of what I needed. I was just, and not that I read superhero books every week. It's not that I needed like a break from that, but it was a nice break.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it helps that we both like these sort of adventure linear games, like a Zelda, like a, I don't even know what you, like a Ratchet and Clank, like those kind of games that it's the hero's journey.
And I hate those games.
Okay, well, I think I like
it. Yeah, no, definitely. Like it is a, the hero's journey, like you said, just gathering items as you go. Like it's fun.
Yeah, and I think adding the twist of where it's like, it's the hero's journey, like, if the hero's journey is A, this is A.1. This is the prequel to the hero's journey. Like, this guy is a side story. The journey you don't see.
I honestly would kind of like to see the hero's journey part of this, though, as like a sequel book. I think it'd be kind of cool to see how it coincides.
Yeah. Like a spinoff book, because it would be cool to. We got the antagonist a few times, but we don't get any real development, which we don't need. I'm not saying that I wanted that in this book. It was perfect.
Right.
But it did pique my interest. Like, I want to know more about that bird with the robot eye.
Yeah. Or the weird toothy Muppet thing. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I'm interested to see what happens next. It said, you know, we always talk about how we don't like volumes that you can tell it's writing for the next volume, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like this one is easily setting up another volume without making it like dependent. Like the story wasn't dependent on like, oh, you got to check out what's happening next. Like it could have not said Twig will be back and just ended.
Well, you know what's funny is that on the collected edition, I don't feel like it was in there. Maybe I missed it.
It's on the single. I read single issues.
Yeah. So on the collected, it doesn't say he'll be back.
Yeah. So I almost think that's a disservice putting Twig will be back. Like, I think it would be better just to be like, we got another Twig story, because a lot of people did enjoy this.
Yeah. I really liked it as just a standalone thing.
Yeah.
So it was great.
Yeah, I think I don't even, not saying I don't need more Twig. Like, this is an easily repeatable thing. I hate that they said it was the last Heartstone. So it's like, why do another one if you said it was the last Heartstone? It would be cool to do a spinoff of
Mushroom. Well, in my opinion, like, they don't know any of the artifacts until they're just there.
Yeah. So saying it could be the last Heartstone, but maybe there's a different artifact for a different journey.
Right. Yeah. Just saying that really, I feel like, doesn't mean a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what a great template, though, too. You can tell as many stories as you want, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brilliant.
I really honestly, my thing is, like, every image book that we've read has just been so original and just really great reads. Every one of them. So good for you, Image, for supporting interesting stories.
Yeah. Some the Boom books that we've read too. I think we really only dunk on the Marvel and DC books.
Yeah. Well, it's because they've been writing them for fucking 60 years, the same shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we grew up with those characters, so we know, like, okay, we read this in 1993. Uh-huh. It's like, you know, it's funny, and this is a sidebar, but Marvel next month or next week is coming out with a new miniseries. Hold on to your seat. This is the title of it. Secret Invasion.
Ooh, I wonder what it's about.
It's a 5-issue miniseries. Oh, God. We didn't talk about the art, really. We mentioned it a few times. I specifically didn't ask you about it until right now. Overall, what do you think about the art in the field book?
You froze for a second. But overall, what I thought, is that what you're asking? Overall, what I thought of the art is, it's gross. It's unsettling at times. But, I mean, it's good. I don't
intentionally,
know.
Intentionally, though, right? I feel like it wasn't. I feel like that's what they were going for.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously. It's, I don't know. I can say that it was well done.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that it was bad by any means, but I just, like, it's gross. It's gross. It's on purpose. Gross. But I, you know, it didn't make me go like, ugh.
In almost every issue, I was like, it's not a complaint. It's just that I think that it's gross.
Yeah.
I think exactly. A lot of the stuff is gross, which I think is intended because you have this, like, cute main character, and it's not the world that he's in is not necessarily, it's not a Disney movie, it's not you know, a Pixar film. It's a little gross. If you think about Link going through all the areas of Zelda, some of those things in, like, really would be kind of gross.
Yeah, man, a fish lady wants to fuck him.
Yeah, bird people, like, it looks cool, but in reality it'd be kind of gross. They probably smell real bad. Let's grade this thing, man. I'm so glad that you enjoyed it, at least a little bit. I never want to have a book where you're like, I never want to read that again, which we have had.
I mean, yeah, those are kind of fun, though.
But it's good that, we can't just praise every book. People will think we're funny.
I do. Enjoy a bad read every once in a while to just dunk. Sometimes, you know, it's a good...
I think what we're going to round the year out with... You ready for this? Fantastic Four life story. I think we're headed the year with that one. I bought every issue. I specifically didn't read a single one because I wanted to save it for the show.
Not because you have a problem. It's because you
can't read.
You like that chick from Glee? Everybody says she can't read.
I never watched Glee, man.
I don't mean, I only know she's on there. Don't make me feel like a fool. You know, there are people. You know the actors, okay?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I've never seen Glee before. You're an idiot.
I've never heard of that show before. What channel
is it? Yeah, what is Glee about? Is it about cheerleaders? Anyway.
Let's grade this thing.
Is it about Christmas?
Go first, man. I went first last time.
It's difficult for me because I really, really enjoyed this book. It's not perfect by any means.
Yeah.
It's very easy going. So there's not, I didn't have a lot to say, I guess.
Yeah, it can be hypercritical on me because it was such an easy read.
Yeah. I just didn't have a lot to say about it. So I'm going to give it like a B5. I feel like that's fine. It's good. Very good. I just don't have anything to be like, ah, man, if it had only done this or it had only done that. Like,
yeah.
It's just good. It's good to read.
I'm going, and for the record, You guys want to know what we're looking at? The Wednesday Pull List comic book grading chart is in our Discord, which will be in the show notes, in our FAQ section. And if you want, we'll figure out a way to get you a copy of it. But you could just look.
You just hit print on your computer.
Copy of it. Problem solved. It takes up an ass load of ink. It completely wipes your ink.
Each toast, it comes out full size.
I'm going to give this one an E3. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
E3. I hear it's fun.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm going to give it an E3. You know what? No. Because I would stop at that. I would stop at that bottom part. It's not. Fuck it. I'm going to give it a D5. Perfect. That's a perfect piece of my toast. There's like, if you looked at them, you're like, those are the same.
Yeah, that's a funny thing. It's like our grading scale really means nothing. It's a good book. It's an easy read. If you're looking for
a grading scale, I think it's more interpretive, and I like that about it.
Yeah, but if you're looking for an easy read and a break from monotonous superhero stories,
or like I feel like the theme of like horror and murder and mystery is really popular right now, like really gross horror stories. If you're looking for a break from all of that stuff, which is good, I can't believe I would have never guessed that I was into horror comic books, but I do dig a lot of them right now. And it was just such an easy read, man. Yeah. Like again, I went through 5 issues and I was like, that's it? That was fast.
Yeah. Also, if you're an orthodontist or a dentist, you'll probably like it.
Yeah, you're going to be reading this in your underwear.
Sure, where's the underwear with the dick holes in?
But yeah, the Wednesday Pull List grading chart, if you're new here and you see it, it looks bizarre and it is wild. It's more, you know, we could easily be like, this book is a 5.5 out of 10 and that'd be it. But in this, we pick it and then we talk about, you know, what that means to us. And I think I like that better than a 10-point scale.
I don't even know where I would grade this on a 10-point scale.
Exactly. That's too much pressure to put it on a 10-point scale. That's why I like being more interpretive. Yeah. So our grading chart means nothing, and it means everything.
Yeah. Yeah, if we were talking 10 points, like Spider-Man Life Story would be a 0, maybe a -1.
It'd be like a 0.5 for me, because it had Spider-Man in it.
Yeah, it has a Spider-Man in it.
And Mark Bagley is my favorite comic book artist, or my favorite Spider-Man artist. Not in Life Story, but just like 90s Bagley. I gotta pay respects to that.
Yeah. 90s Bagley is really good. Yeah, definitely.
I gotta pay respects to that by giving him a 0.5 on his modern work. Take that, you talented bastard. All right, Tommy, where can the people find you?
Well, I live in Wichita Falls, and I'm usually at our local hospital. So if you want to just...
I was like, say your entire address, and I just...
You can find me on Instagram at Simon Toast. I got too busy to support my other experimental page, which was really just the same old shit. But
you know, you can schedule that. We'll talk about this in a second.
Nah, man, I just don't. I don't want to. I don't like social media anyway. And it's like 25% of my job.
I was gonna say it's your job, man.
Yeah, man. What's your job? You like doing that when you get home? I don't like to do any of that.
I do. My job is different because my job is out while I'm at home.
So anyway, you can find me at SimonToast, Sim_on_toast on Instagram. I do have a website, but it's kind of bland. It's SimonToyPortraits.com. Almost forgot it. And you can find me here. That's where I'm at. TikTok, SimonToast as well.
Yeah, TikTok, it don't stop. Yeah, Simon's on Twitter too, so if you also want to send him $8 a month so he can be verified.
Yeah, I would love to be. I would love to have a blue check.
The rest of our stuff you can find Wednesday Pull everywhere. We just got the ability to create a handle on YouTube that's Wednesday Pull, so we are officially at Wednesday Pull everywhere. We're really official now, so check us out. We would love to talk more. We're on Twitter. I know a bunch of people are... I know a bunch of people are abandoning ship, or at least telling people that they're leaving Twitter. I've been there a really long time, so I'm going to weather the storm a little bit. So find us on there, TikTok, everywhere else. we're circling the drain. So we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, if you hear, sorry about the chihuahua barking. She just loves to bark. She has Tourette's, so she just barks at nothing.
Love it. We're circling the drain. Well, see you guys next time.
Well, you'll hear us next time. Bye.